Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, good evening, and welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, brought to you by AMS Media. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And I am joined by Vittorio Campanile. Vittorio, welcome back to the show, mate. How are you?
Fine, Harry. How are you?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. Pleased because we've just come on to record and Spurs have just conceded 7 goals at home, which is unthinkable. Just imagine conceding 7 goals at home. It's an absolute shambles. And I, for one, am very, very pleased. Vittorio, it's been a busy week in Serie A, as always. Lots to talk about, lots of key games, and that's the great thing about Serie A. There's so many big clubs that there's always games that are of note, games that are interesting, and games that, of course, provide plenty of entertainment. Despite what people think about the league, there is a lot of entertainment in Italy at the moment. So let's start off quickly by running through the results, and then we'll touch on some of those key games. So from week 6 in Serie A, Cagliari 1, Verona 1, Juventus 2, Spal 0, Lazio 4, Genoa 0, Lecce 0, Roma 1, Milan 1, Fiorentina 3, Napoli 2, Brescia 1, Parma 3, Torino 2, Sampdoria 1, Inter 3, Sassuolo 1, Atalanta 4, Udinese 1, Bologna 0. Vittorio, let's start off with Milan, because they've gone into full crisis mode now, haven't they? And Gianpaolo is under pressure already. What did you make of the game at the weekend? And is it time that, you know, is it time that the pressure begins to be applied on Gianpaolo, or is it way too early?
My question would be, is it fair to put all the pressure on Gianpaolo and not to the rest? You know, there are players playing badly. You know, Paolo Maldini and Zvonimir Boban selected this type of players and the manager. I think they have a big responsibility for what they did. I don't think these players are worthy the Milan shirt. I think this Milan team cannot fight for the Champions League. And we've been waiting all summer hearing that Gianpaolo is one of the best manager in Italy, which I simply don't believe. And, you know, we had Tommy talking with us a lot of times saying that Gianpaolo's team usually go well till December, and then from January onwards, they pretty much disappeared. So I don't rate Gianpaolo a great manager, but I don't think it's all his fault. Yes, he came with his type of football. He had to change it because he didn't have the players good enough to play what he was hoping for. And Milan now hasn't got an identity because Gianpaolo used to play with different tactics. Now he's trying to adapt. The players aren't good enough. You know, last Sunday, they lost against Fiorentina. Donnarumma saved a penalty. So you think they lost 3-1. It could have been much worse if they didn't have Donnarumma on goal. So this tells you how bad the situation is. Put pressure on Gianpaolo, yes, but even on all the other elements, I think, because it's not fair only blame the manager. We know, we've been living in the football world for ages. We know that the first one who pays is the manager. But really, these times, it's all AC Milan that is responsible for these results.
Absolutely. But that shouldn't take anything away from Fiorentina, should it? That's a fantastic win on the road. And, you know, the way that the season ended for Fiorentina last year wasn't very good, and people, you know, were speaking badly of them, but they'll be very pleased with that result, won't they?
Yes, absolutely. And it's very different compared to Milan. Commisso bought the club this summer and immediately made some very important investments. You know, the first name that comes to mind is Ribéry, obviously. But they're building a very interesting team. They have Chiesa, that is a very young, interesting player. They put Ribéry there and so on. They are a very interesting player. I'm not sold out on Montella. I don't think he's a great manager. He failed in all the last team he played, as well as Milan. So, but I think it's a club that it's heading upwards, and it's a club that could fight. I'm not sure this year for the Champions League, but maybe in 2 years' time, they're building a very interesting team. Again, let's not forget, Montella started very badly. I mean, they struggled to find a type of football. They were very unlucky. They were two goals ahead against Atalanta. They finished drawing that match. So we have to see how things plan out. But Fiorentina is a very interesting team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk about the other Milan side now. Inter, a 3-1 win at Sampdoria. Alexis Sanchez making a real impact. And, you know, I thought that maybe the first goal would have been given to him when I was watching it as well. It was Sensi's shot. It took a deflection off Sanchez. He didn't really know too much about it. So it's probably fair. But, you know, Sanchez made a real impact, didn't he? And that, all of that with no Lukaku as well.
Yeah, my son was really upset because he had the Sanchez at the fantasy football. So he was hoping for the two goal of Sanchez. What can I say? You know, you think he scored two goals, so he played well. Lukaku had a huge impact with Inter this season. Sanchez, this was the first time starting. Obviously, Sampdoria is in a very difficult situation, so this helped Inter in a way. But this Inter reflects really how Conte is. You know, it's a team that is very hard to score against. It's very well built, fight for 95 minutes. So Sanchez can be a very useful part of this because he brings to the table quality that other striker doesn't have. So it's going to be interesting to see how things plan out. The fact that this was the first match he was starting tells you that Conte's not, at the moment, doesn't trust Sanchez too much. But we will see what happens from now onwards.
Do you think that was down to fitness, though? Do you think he doesn't trust Sanchez's fitness? Because, you know, Sanchez had a terrible time at Manchester United. It was well documented. There was lots of talk about the money he was receiving and that, you know, it was over the top. But let's be realistic. I mean, this Alexis Sanchez that joined Man United was a fantastic player, and you don't just lose that. So do you think that Conte is maybe just a bit wary about Sanchez's fitness because of the lack of football that he's played? Because in my mind, he's a fantastic player, and I think Conte would probably agree with that. Otherwise, maybe he wouldn't have gone out and signed him.
Well, obviously, the condition is a question mark because he didn't play that much in the past, so probably he's not 100% fit. But at the same time, Inter has many options there, and Sanchez has to find a way to be selected more, to play more. Obviously, Sampdoria was, well, in the first half, a good part for Sanchez. So, to be honest, he has the quality. You know, every Italian fan remember Sanchez at Udinese. He was unbelievable. And obviously, the first part of his career was amazing. Now, I think the quality he has are still there. The problem is, a player tend to lose confidence when he doesn't play that much, when, you know, fans are not happy, booing him. So what is his level of confidence now? Is he back because he feels that Conte trusts him, etc.? Or, you know, he struggles, he need to stack a couple of good performance to be back to the Sanchez everybody knew. That's the biggest question mark. And again, let's not forget that Inter is fighting for the title, so they don't have really match where they can test or experiment players. This against Sampdoria was a very bold decision from Conte, I think, but probably he saw that Sanchez was physical ready and wanted to give a go.
Absolutely. And Sanchez ended up spoiling his debut, didn't he, by getting sent off for simulation it was a silly thing to do, wasn't it? The guy clearly pulls his leg away and Sanchez takes a tumble. Fully deserved, in my opinion. I don't think he can have any complaints about that. But Inter, of course, they'll be facing Barcelona in the Champions League. They have a trip to the new camp. And for those who maybe don't watch Italian football as much and maybe are a little bit more casual in their following of Serie A, how far have this Inter side come? And can they give Barcelona a game in the Camp Nou? And I know that Conte's only been there a while, but it's 6 out of 6. It's a brilliant start, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. But let's not forget that the only match they didn't play well was in Champions League. In the first leg, they struggle at home against a team that they should have beat. So the big question mark is that. And let's not forget that Conte, when he started with Juventus, when he took Juventus was a team struggling to finish in the top four. And in fact, that year, when Conte, the first year of Conte managing Juventus, Juventus didn't have the Champions League. And people believe that that's one of the reasons why Juventus has had such a good performance in the Serie A. So there's a question mark. Will Conte be able to make this Inter team play well even in Champions League? The fact that they drew at home 1-1 against Prague in the Champions League after they won all the matches in Serie A makes you wonder if this team is not ready to play very high football twice a week. And obviously against Barcelona, now Lukaku probably won't play. He's injured. So this it's a big problem for Conte. Obviously, we're not talking about an amazing Barcelona because we saw that this year they're struggling as well. But I would say it's very difficult to score against this Inter. Their defense is great. It's unbelievable. Andanovic is probably at the moment one of the best goalkeepers in the world. They have Godin, De Vrij. It's a very solid defense. So that's something that will be there even against Barcelona. How they're going to be attacking, especially without Lukaku, that's a big question mark.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a game to look forward to. There's no question about that. And Inter, of course, have a huge game in the league next weekend against Juventus. But we'll come on to that in a moment. Let's talk about Juventus, a 2-0 win over Spal. They had a real injury crisis on their hands, Juventus. But, they got themselves over the line. When you've got Ronaldo in your side, you've always got a chance, of course. But For those, again, for the casual supporters, because a lot of our listeners are Premier League supporters, we're one of the few English language Italian podcasts. So I want to give them an understanding of how Juventus are different under Maurizio Sarri. You know, Sarri came to England, not many people warmed to him. I thought that he got a lot of harsh criticism. The press were sort of at his throat from the very beginning, undeservedly, in my opinion. But are Juventus, in your opinion, a little bit weaker with Sarri? I mean, they seem to have a bit more of a soft centre. I know the results are going their way, but I just don't get that same feeling from Juve under Sarri. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thing is, the players are learning the new system, and already Sarri is making some adjustment because let's not forget that Sarri loved the 4-3-3. Every Sarri team pretty much played with that tactics. And now we are seeing with Juventus, he changed a little bit. For example, against Spal, there was Ramsey behind Dybala and Cristiano Ronaldo. So it wasn't a 4-3-3, but it was a 4-3-1-2. So, it's tweaking a little bit the team to make it play better. Obviously, everybody expected Juventus to struggle at the beginning of the season because, coming from Allegri type of football to Sarri, it's a completely different world. So you can see it on the positive way. The positive way is that Juventus is already there. It's second behind Inter. They drew against Fiorentina away. It's a very complicated match. They beat Napoli. So to be there in that position after 1 month and a half of Sarri, that's probably a very positive sign. The negative side is that obviously they are not playing the type of football that Sarri probably would love. In defense, they are struggling a little bit more than with Allegri. Obviously, Allegri football was very focused on defending and then using the talent they had. Sarri wants a team to play football, so maybe have a very attacking mind, and so this allowed the opponent to have more chances. So I'm quite impressed. Now, obviously, it's pretty obvious to say that next Sunday would be the most important match, right? This Juventus-Inter that it won't decide the season because it's too early, but will give us probably a better understanding of Inter and Juventus, because Inter start very strong. We have to be honest and say they have a quite easy fixture because they played only against Lazio and Inter and Milan, while Juventus already played against Napoli, against Fiorentina. So the fixture was completely different between the two teams. But Inter is very solid. It's a very solid team. Juventus is not that solid, but plays much better football. So, you know, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they're going to perform. But against PAL, we saw very, very good Juventus, probably one of the best performance of Juventus this season. You can say that Spal is not a great team, and I agree with you, but you know, Berisha was man of the match. He made 3-4 unbelievable save against Juventus. That match could have finished easily 4-5-0 without Berisha. So you have to keep that in mind and see the progress Juventus from the first day of the Serie A till now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, Sunday's game will tell us a lot more about the two teams. Vittorio, let's talk about your team. Lazio ran absolutely right at the weekend, 4-0 winners over Genoa. What are your hopes for Lazio this season?
Well, Lazio, I hope, will fight for the Champions League spot till the end. I feel this year, the Serie A, it's nearly divided in two. If we are talking about the top position, I think there is Juventus, Inter and Napoli fighting for the Scudetto. Napoli is another very interesting team. And then there is, for the last spot of the Champions League, the fourth place in Serie A, there is Roma, Atalanta, Lazio fighting for that position, I believe. And I thought Lazio had a better team, but they struggled at the beginning of the season. So it's going to be a fight between these three teams, I think. I think Fiorentina is not ready yet to fight for the Champions League. So it was really important for Lazio to win against Genoa after a bad week. Against Inter, Lazio played for 45, 50 minutes great football and deserved to win. But in the second half, the intensity went down and Inter won the match. At the end, you have to say that Inter deserved to win. But Lazio was coming out a derby that should have won and drew. Lost against Cluj in Europa League. Lost against Spal, the only match Spal won this year. So, you know, it was a little bit of tension in the club and Lazio needed to win this match. They played really great football. Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto back. But if you see, Atalanta is 3 points ahead of Lazio. And I think it's going to be a big battle because Atalanta is struggling in Champions League but is playing great football in Serie A. Roma maybe doesn't have an incredible team, but they have the experience to fight for the Champions League. And I think that could make the difference. So I think Lazio will fight till the end with Atalanta and Roma for the fourth space in Serie A. And that is the last one for the Champions League.
Brilliant stuff. The Smiths, who's watching us live, 1986, he says, if Lazio finish above Roma, it's an achievement. Vittorio is a big Lazio fan, so I'm sure he'd be pleased with that.
Well, it's true because in the past couple of years, Roma have been fighting for the Scudetto a couple of times, have always finished in the top four if you exclude last year. That was a disaster. But Lazio fan will say yes, but in the last 11 years, Roma didn't win nothing while Lazio win Coppa Italia and things like that. But if we take the Serie A, Roma pretty much finished in the last 5 years always above Lazio and finished in the Champions League spot except last year. So it would be a great achievement for Lazio, even because Lazio need to get to the Champions League if they want to make a further step forward to start to fight for the Scudetto and, you know, build a bigger team.
Absolutely. What have you made of what's Chris Smalling gotten on like in your opinion? He's a player who was often made fun of here in England. at Manchester United. There was a general feeling that he was never, ever good enough, really, to be a key central defender at Manchester United. What have the people in Italy taken to him like?
Well, we have to say that the biggest weakness of Roma, it's the defense. They sold Manolas for financial fair play problem to Napoli. That was the best defender they had. And that's the problem. You know, Roma is very good when they attack, but they're terrible when they're defending. And you can see it. Roma allowed too many goals this season. I don't think Smalling will fix the problem on his own. He's a good fighter. He started pretty much well this season. We have to say that when he played well. But he's not a top-class defender that will solve the problem of Roma. You know, he's playing with Juan Jesus, with Fazio. There are defenders that have weaknesses. This Roma defense is very slow. So Smalling can be a very interesting add-on to this team because he has international experience. He has played in a big club like Manchester United. But, you know, if he was benched in this Manchester United that is not fighting for the Premier League, that tells you that probably he's not a top player. But I think he's going to be useful for this team, for Roma. Obviously, the fans were expecting someone better than him. But at the end, you have to say that buying a experienced defender like him will be helpful for Roma.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Parma. 3-2 winners at the weekend. You know, they've got some interesting players there. 3-2 over Torino, who notoriously a very good side defensively under Walter Mazzarri. He's a coach that, you know, absolutely loves the defensive side of the game. One of our listeners who's listening live now, he says, I'm Swiss Italian Parma supporter. Any word on them? Can they push for the Europa? In your mind, Vittorio, are Parma in the mix? Are they good enough? Can they give it a push?
Well, the problem is Parma can fight for the Europa League. I don't think they're that level yet. But let's not forget that Milan is in huge crisis. Sampdoria this year will struggle. And this was team that last year fight for the Europa League spot. Again, they beat Torino. Obviously, Torino was one man down for all the second half. But these are the team that last year fight for the Europa League. So Parma, for me, could get there, especially, but it depends a lot on these other teams. We know, we already talk about Milan, that it's a team that will struggle. Now we have to see how much they will struggle, if they will recover. You know, it's the beginning of October. They still have plenty of time to get back. But Parma, it's a very interesting team. They have a couple of very interesting players. Obviously, Gervinho, I would say, is the star of the team. He's very speedy attacker that is very difficult to control. But in general, Parma has a lot of interesting players. So, and have a very interesting manager as well. A rising manager, would say, that loves playing great football. Usually his team played very well. So, you know, Parma, the biggest question mark is, are they convinced? Do they believe they can make it? Because the big difference of Atalanta is Gasperini talked to the players and say, guys, if you trust me, if you believe in what I say and do what I say, then we're going to have fun this year. And they fought for the Champions League till the end because the players believed. Now, the question mark will be, is Parma really believing they can make it? I think they can, but we're going to see in the second half of the season if they still have the energy and they believe in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great stuff, Vittorio. Let's look ahead a little bit to next week's fixtures. If we have a look, of course, the standout game is that clash between Inter and Juve in the San Siro. Atalanta entertain Lecce. Bologna welcome Lazio. Brescia take on Sassuolo. Fiorentina go head-to-head with Udinese. Genoa welcome Milan. We've touched on that Inter-Juve game already. Roma have Cagliari, Spal versus Parma, Torino, Napoli. Now, that's a dodgy game for Napoli, isn't it? Torino's a difficult place to go. Ancelotti's been quoted as saying that he's rarely pleased by Napoli. Basically, that he feels that their potential is a lot bigger than what they're showing at the moment, and he's rarely satisfied with what he's getting on the pitch. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Carlo Ancelotti is one of world football's finest managers. But, you know, the way things are in Italy at the moment, Napoli, are going to struggle, aren't they, to keep up with Inter and Juve. I know they've kept close to Juve in the past, but ultimately they've always fallen short. But if Napoli were to finish third, can Ancelotti look at that and say, you know what, I'm proud of that, that's good?
No, I don't think so. Especially considering the fact that they kept all the key players this summer, and now they have even Llorente. You know, that's a big sign for Napoli. So, no, Napoli is fighting for the Scudetto. And Harry, let's not forget that they beat Liverpool in the Champions League. And, you know, Liverpool won the Champions League last year. So that's an unbelievable achievement. And they deserve to win. It's not that they had a penalty that wasn't a penalty, etc. Napoli played better than Liverpool and won it. This tells you that this team really has a lot of talent. And when they play good football, Napoli is very hard to stop. So the potential is there. Napoli should be fighting for the Scudetto. And to be honest with you, Inter is not playing that great football. Now, we know that Antonio Conte's team are not very nice to see. You know, they don't play amazing football. They're very solid. While this Napoli is playing great football, they have a lot of talent there in the team. The funny thing is, they bought Manolas from Roma, and people this summer, a lot of people were saying, wow, Napoli defense with Manolas, Koulibaly, Meret, who's going to score? Instead, we're seeing that Napoli is allowing a lot of goals at this season, which is surprising because of the good defenders they have. There is a lack of concentration in some matches from the defense of Napoli. They were really focused in the Champions League, but obviously you play against Liverpool and you always get focused in top matches. But the problem here is Napoli has to be focused for the season. They lost against Cagliari at home. You know, they played much better. They deserve to win. But football, it's a game where it's not only that you play better. You have to score more than the opponent. Otherwise, there's a chance that you don't win or you lose like Cagliari. So it would be really disappointing, I think, for Napoli to arrive third. Then obviously it depends. If you arrive third but at 2 points from the first one, that's another discussion. But I think De Laurentiis, the owner of Napoli, believes that he built a team for the Scudetto. Obviously, Inter spent much more money, but this Napoli team, it's a very good team. They should be fighting for the Scudetto. Obviously, they didn't do it at the moment, and this, it's, you know, a big question mark. Why they played so well in Champions League and they're struggling in Serie A. You know, Harry, they say Ancelotti wrote a book, I prefer the cup, that it's, you know, the ham, it's written cup in Italian. So it's you can read it both way. But it's true. Ancelotti won the Champions League with different team. And normally his team have performed better in the Champions League than in the league. But this Napoli needs a manager who will be able to make them win the Scudetto. Because honestly, I don't think that Napoli can win the Champions League.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Vittorio, let's finish off by getting your prediction for that big game between Inter and Juventus. We've gone a little bit shorter tonight. That's because Tommy's not with us. Tommy is on holiday, and Tommy is the other part to this fantastic podcast. So we'll be looking forward to having Tommy back. Vittorio's brilliant, but he's probably tired of talking now.
You know, I'm Italian. I can talk for hours.
I'm just playing.
Let's not forget, Harry, that there's another important match because there's Genoa-Milan. And we talk about Milan. You know, if Milan loses against Genoa, that is another team that is struggling. They lost 4-0 against Lazio. There were rumors of sacking the manager even there. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting match because both manager I'm trouble. And if they don't win this match, they could be out of the jobs. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they play. Milan have been playing really badly, but, you know, the players need to play for Gianpaolo on this match. So it will be really interesting to see how that match goes. And yes, it shouldn't be a top fixture, but it is, because if Milan loses, then probably Gianpaolo will be sacked. Talking about Inter-Juventus, It's tough to say. I would say that Juventus is still a better team, but I would say 1-0 Juventus, because I don't think that Inter would allow more than one goal. So, yeah, that's my prediction.
Well, I'm going to go for a narrow Juventus win as well. I'm going to go for a 2-1, though. I'm going to go for a 2-1. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Juventus are a more complete side. I think that, like you said, we have to take into consideration the fixtures that Inter have played so far. It's been a marvelous start. It's been a fantastic start, but it's very early days. And Juventus have shown over the last few years that they're capable of going the distance. And more often than not, their opponents haven't been able to do so. And, you know, we saw a very strong Napoli side keep up with them for the most part of a season the year before last. But when it got to the crunch time, of course, they fell away. And, you know, whilst Conte's made a huge improvement at Inter, it is very early days. So I think the safe thing to do is a bet on Juventus for that one.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is, if Sarri will be able to make Higuain, Dybala and Cristiano Ronaldo play all together, then, you know, the firepower of Juventus is unbelievable. And he's trying, you know, to find a solution to make them play together. It's not going to be easy. He said in the press conference before the Champions League match, it's going to be really difficult to see Higuain and Dybala play together. But now he's finding a solution for Ramsey, who can be a very important point, a very important player for Juventus. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great stuff. Vittorio, thank you so much for coming back on, as always. A regular and the main man on Simply Serie A. So thank you so much for your time again. No worries at all. Glad to have you. And we'll be back next week with more. We'll be reflecting on that game. Hopefully Tommy will be back too, and we'll be able to dissect that huge game at the San Siro, as well as touching on the rest of the big stories from Italy. So until then, take care. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a review. We are on YouTube now as well, which we weren't last season. So if you haven't already and you fancy seeing our beautiful faces while we talk Italian football, please, please do head over there and hit the subscribe button. Alternatively, we are still on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all the usual places. So we'll be back next week. Until then, take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.